The year is 1997. Maxim magazine begins print, causing an all-time high in national horniness. El Nino fear is the only thing getting the world's mind off of the passing of Princess Diana. And the Roslin Institute reveals the first successfully cloned mammal, Carson Daly. And in South Bend, Indiana, Brendan Bayless, Ryan Stasek, Joel Cummins, and Mike Miro started playing shows around Notre Dame. After just 8 months, the band put out their first album, Greatest Hits Volume 3. Shortly after the release, the band added percussionist Andy Farrig. Andy's father became the band's agent. By the end of 1998, the boys had taken Notre Dame by storm and began playing outside of South Bend at colleges and house parties, allowing the audience to tape music freely. The band put out 2 live albums over the next 2 years. In 2001, the South Bend boys started to focus on improvisation within their performances. They called these improv excursions Jimmy Stewart, as they first tried it in the Jimmy Stewart Ballroom in a hotel. With these Jimmy Stewarts, a new drummer, and a proper album called Local Band Does Okay, the band did 150 shows in 2003. After all their hard work, they got a distribution deal and a late-night spot at Bonnaroo, where they'd be exposed to a whole new audience. In July, Rolling Stone called them the odds-on favorites in the next Phish sweepstakes. With over 20 years in the game, a Jammy for Best Live Album in 2007, and 21 total albums, today we stand by Humphreys McGee. Hello there, Piss Freaks and Stantonio Banderases. Welcome to Stand By Your Band. It's me, your host, Tommy Takar. I need to not call myself Tommy because it gets confusing. We should only refer to you, Tommy McNamara.
Hello,
Tommy.
I'm back.
You're back in a big way.
No more co-hosts.
No one will have even heard that episode, to be honest. If you go to our Patreon page right now, you can hear an episode where our dear friend Jeff Tate plays the part of Tommy McNamara in a live episode, but it's very crackly, so I threw it up there. It was a fun time. John Handcuff and Jimmy Roberson argued Phish versus, what was it?
Flock of seagulls. The age-old debate.
Yeah, it was a weird debate, but it was a fun show, but it just was, it's a bonus ep.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, welcome back, Tommy, to the podcast, and welcome back me to New York.
Yes, Tom just walked in the door, luggage free.
Oh, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
As if my luggage was weighing me down.
It was
down.
A burden.
Everybody has baggage.
Except Tom
Except for
Takar.
Me, because the airline lost it. So, I just got back from a long fucking trip on the road. I was in Cincinnati and Chicago and Bloomington, all over. I'm going to be back in town for a few days. So we're going to record a few Stand By Your Bands. And then I'm off to Los Angeles,
Ooh.
California. Heard of it? We should intro our guests here today.
I'm fine.
Hey, Brett. We got Brett Arnold on today.
Brett
Hello.
Arnold.
Thanks for coming on, dude.
It's an honor to be here. I'm definitely a big Stand By Your Stan.
Ooh, I like that.
Ooh. Stand By Stan.
I was thinking of calling the fans Stand By Your Band, but
bad.
I thought it might be too confusing.
Stan. No, that works. I like it.
Stands By Your Band.
Yeah, it works.
It's too confusing. I still think Piss Freaks is probably that's the one that the people
the most
seem
efficient.
To like.
Yeah.
When we did the live one, it was out in the middle of like a tunnel, like it was outdoors, and so I opened by calling everybody Piss Freaks, and I saw a child walking towards the stage, and I apologized, and the guy who was her father, I assume,
I hope.
The man who was with her was like, ah, she hears worse shit than that all the time.
She's a real bitch piglet.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Deep cut.
I know this pod.
Hell yeah.
Jinx. Tommy, how you been, buddy?
I'm good. This is the first episode of recording since the incident.
We talked about it a little bit on the Coldplay episode.
What the fuck?
Yeah. We said that it was your fault, probably.
Oh, the incident.
Unbelievable.
No.
Oh, God.
No, we were very worried about you from afar.
So I got mugged for the listeners. The guy punched me in the face, took my phone, ran away, and now I'm back.
That's comedy.
And that's comedy, baby.
Now, what music were you listening to?
Defend it.
Yeah, my dad actually stand by that.
I was listening to, this is true, the soundtrack to the musical The Last 5 Years.
Oh,
oh my God.
Which is the lamest thing you can
do. You can't go see that play again.
I know.
It'd be triggering.
Maybe it introduced that man to the theater.
Yeah, I mean, he went home listening to that. Like, you know what? This shit is dope. Is this off-Broadway?
It's so funny because the song, like the main song I love from that musical, is called "Still Hurting."
Never related more.
Yeah. Brett, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. It's been a nice long weekend. Happy to be here.
Yeah. What are you gonna do this weekend, man?
Not much. I did my usual karaoke at Cobra Club.
There you go.
Friday night. Got a little loose, loosey-goosey.
What'd you sing?
What did I sing that night? Oh, my God. I don't remember. Arctic Monkeys. I bet you look good on the dance floor.
Love it. Great song.
It was a hoot.
We're both AM freaks.
Yeah, I have them tattooed
love the morning time?
On my wrist.
Exactly, yeah. We both met Alex Turner.
We both have met Alex Turner separately.
Not at the same
time.
It'd
be weird if we met him at the same time. I just met you like 2 years ago.
I know. Yeah.
That's wild.
But check out the Arctic Monkeys.
You've told the story about meeting him on here, right?
I've talked about it. Yeah. Coachella. 16,
Mine was also a festival. It was Austin City Limits.
Mm-hmm.
I had a press pass because I was writing for a college newspaper. And if you just apply for festivals and you have a Big Ten school credential, they'll give it to you for free. So I went to all these festivals in college for free. But Austin City Limits, I walk into the press tent. The first thing I see is my favorite band, the Arctic Monkeys, in like a circle. And I just like am an asshole. Just like walked up, was like, hey, look at my tattoo I just got. And Alex turns to Maddie Helders, and he goes, oh, look at that. You've done it.
That's
and then
so
that was
good.
Oh, that's right. You told me that. Yeah. That was done it.
You've done it.
I did
that
it.
That sounds ominous.
I think he was creeped out because I got this tattoo before the album came out. Like they released like the single.
That's so
and the
fun.
Art
what
was
if you
there.
Hated the album?
I know. I was worried about
that's
that.
A big
there was
risk.
A period of a couple of weeks of like, oh, I really hope this album's dank. And it was really good. Thank God.
Wow. It reminds me of when Tom met Charles Manson. He had just gotten the swastika tattooed on his forehead.
Right. I didn't even know if it was going to be good.
The race war. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that
Manson
worked out
goes,
for everybody.
You've done it.
And then he played me his beautiful music.
Yeah.
You should defend Manson.
Yeah, we'll do a special Halloween episode where I defend the music of Charles Manson.
It's apparently just terrible.
All we'll have for the Halloween episode is that and the Monster Mash.
The thing about Charles Manson is like he was given so many opportunities. If he had the talent, he would be a musician.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But I mean, he has a writing credit on a Beach Boys song.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's correct. Right.
Speaking of Charles Manson, we're here to talk about Umphrey's McGee.
I wanted to say before we jump into that, I also just did karaoke. I did live band karaoke while I was in Bloomington, which is the most thrilling thing I think you can do in this life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is so fun. It reminds you of like
you're in the band.
You feel like you're in the band and you're like, the second you get off stage, you're like, why do I do comedy? I should be doing this with my life.
Right.
I sang, you want to take a guess at what I sang?
Is it all 90s?
Game. Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
so
it
that's
all
a good
90s.
Handicap there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah. That's a... disabled.
You know who else is a good handicap? Lieutenant Dan. And,
was it?
And Forrest Gump.
Was
he's
it?
A good guy at the end. A good handicap.
The alternate title. Okay, let's guess.
Was it a Pearl Jam song? Was it Daughter by Pearl Jam?
It was not.
No, that one's
not a Pearl
pretty
Jam
good.
Boy. Yeah. All right, let's do a qualifier. All male right. or female singer?
Male, and I would say two-hit wonder.
Two-hit wonder. Was it Closing Time by Semisonic?
No, that's a good guess, though. It's in the same vein.
Okay.
Like a jumper?
Sort of. They have more hits than that, though.
Yeah.
I would say this is... And they're, all right, I'll give you a big hint.
Eve 6.
That's it!
Oh, shit. Inside Out?
It was Inside Out.
That was the only two-hit wonder I could think of.
Dude.
Is Here's to the Nights the other
Here's
hit?
Yeah,
that's what I would consider, right?
Here's to the
Nights. I was into them, so I was like, I remember wanting there to be more good songs.
There were more?
Oh, I had an album of theirs, but I can't remember any of the other songs. I just like Tears to
I remember
Night,
the artwork of that album.
I hope I haven't told the story on here already, but a friend of mine, when we were like 13, was like moving to a different city, and she was like really sad. And she was like, but let's just like, it was her last night. We're like, let's just have fun. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to be sad. My friend puts on the song, Here's to the Night.
That's so perfect.
That's so funny.
And of course, she was leaving because you had killed her dog.
Yes, it was the butterfly effect.
I was trying to connect it to that somehow. It was a stretch. Okay, so we're here to talk about Humphreys McGee today.
We sure are.
Should we start off with Jared's thing? Because I feel
sure.
Like all right, Jared sent us a voicemail.
Oh, great.
We went to Jared for this. Let's see. Oh, Johnny and Cuff text. He wants to send me his avails. All right, so this is Jared Thompson speaking on Humphreys McGee.
What's up, y'all? This week they went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending Humphreys McGee. Like a lot of you, I've never heard them. I mean, they're definitely fairly unknown. I know they have, like, the white kid, like, drug following, similar to Fish or whatever. I knew that much about them. I knew enough to stay away because the name is so terrible. I mean, it like a person that listens to Jimmy Eat World, which is maybe the worst band name of all time, thinks that this band name is bad. I mean, that's how bad the band name is. This is my first time listening to them, and kind of like a Cliff Notes way to get introduced to a band when you're doing something like making fun of bands on a podcast is just to sort of go to what is looked at as their most popular song. So I listened to the three most popular songs according to Tidal, the songs that Tidal, the Jay-Z streaming service, shows as the most listened to tracks. And all three of them seem to be from an album of, like, covers, and this is not any cover. This has to be alongside when I heard Pentatonix's Christmas songs for the first time, one of the most jarring moments of my musical life, hearing them take two songs, and sometimes not even two good songs. Like, there was bad songs in here where they take two different songs and mash them together, and it's just, it's so bad. One of them was Michael Jackson and Fleetwood Mac. And even though those are two elite artists in history, I can't even tell you how bad it is. It's fucking terrible. So please, for the love of God, if you're listening to this podcast and you don't already like this band, do not start anytime soon. Thank you.
Well, that's the first time that's happened.
Wow. I can't say I didn't expect that.
Jared gave a warning to people not to turn.
Can I start off with the mashup thing? Because sure. I put one on the playlist, not because I like it, but because it's important to talk about, I think. So Humphreys has done, I don't know how many years now, maybe a decade. On Halloween every year, they do a run of shows that there's a gimmick around them. They do mashups. Uh-huh. They mash up songs live. The one I put on the playlist was Sad Clint Eastwood. It's Sad But True, mm-hmm. mixed with Clint Eastwood by the Gorillaz. They have National Anthem Loser. It's like National Anthem by Radiohead and Loser by Beck. With like
I thought
Phil
it was
Collins
the National Anthem.
Oh, no. They mashed up the National Anthem.
Are you talking about the National's Anthem?
is it? Blood Buzz Ohio?
Great song.
Great fucking song.
I'm going to go see them on Wednesday.
Oh, nice. I'm seeing them when they come to the Queens, whatever, Forest Park.
I went to a National concert, and Colin Kaepernick was front row kneeling the whole time.
What the hell?
So the mashup thing is not representative of their sound or their music and should not be treated as such. The fact that it's on the top of, first of all, Tidal, what a weird thing.
Well, Jared loves Solange, so he wanted to hear that album first.
So it's weird that that's what, it's interesting to me that that's like the top song on Tidal. That's because like it's the most recent like studio album they've put out. So what happened was they have been doing this thing for so long. It's a fun run. I've gone to the past like 6 or 7 years of it, and it's a fun thing. Like everyone wears mashup costumes. It's like the band will be Jay ZZ Top and like Salvador Dali Parton, and like everyone who attends wears mashup costumes too. So I've been like, I had a Wilfred the Dog costume, so I milked that for years. I was Will Freddy Krueger.
Nice.
I was Wilfred Durst.
what about Wilfred
Willard? But So that's what it is. It's like, it's just a gimmick thing. They play a regular show and each show has one or two new mashups. And everyone's like, no one really thinks they're like amazing. It's just like, this is a dumb, fun thing. We're all dancing. This is fun. So they did put out an album called Zonky, which is a mashup of a zebra and a donkey, I would imagine. But I will say, I don't know a single Umphrey's fan that like bought this album or was like hella stoked about this album. Like, it was just kind of like a, I think it's cool they did it because they can maybe get people who don't like jam bands and who don't like their music to be like, oh, like, this is a fun thing. Like, I don't think they're as terrible as Jared made them sound. I think there's a couple that are, I mean, I don't think they're great. I think there's a few that I like. Sad Clint Eastwood sounds okay.
That's the only one from that you put on there, right? Okay, so that's the only experience we had with those mashups.
Sad but Clint Eastwood, or sad Clint Eastwood.
Which I was impressed with how much they sounded like the song.
Chris Myers. His vocals sounded a lot.
Did you
like,
did you enjoy that, or did you, or were you just impressed?
I was impressed by. I liked the Clint Eastwood part, but that's just because I like Clint Eastwood.
That's what, the moment I had during that. I was like, oh hell yeah! And then I was like, wait, no, I like that song.
Wait, play that song instead.
All right, well, let's. I see what you're saying. I was just like, it was like a take on it where I was like, but they're just doing what they did. So it's not.
So they're very, I think why Umphrey's fans are so like gung ho about them is because they are that like very technically impressive. Like if you see them, every Umphrey's fan will tell you, you can't listen to their music and get it. You have to go see them.
Yeah, that's what a couple of the Facebook comments
were. That's what everyone says. And like in this case, it's true. They really are just like, they're so locked in. They've been playing together since 1998. Like they're just fucking locked into the point where they can. They've been called, not, I don't want to slight their original music or anything, but people do refer to them as like one of the best cover bands around because every show they play a cover or two and they fucking crush it and it sounds awesome, like huge songs, like Pink Floyd, like Shine On You Crazy Diamond, just like huge sounding songs. But again, I know that I'm already like talking myself into a hole here because I'm like, this band I like is the best cover band.
I do love, I think every live show should have one cover.
I agree.
It's with always
that.
Fun.
Yeah. What's your favorite cover you've seen live?
I mean, I've seen Pearl Jam Rockin' in the Free World as a closer was really fun.
Ooh,
nice. I saw Waxahachie when I saw them did an amazing cover of that Jessica Simpson song, With You.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was great.
I've seen Arctic Monkeys do Nick Cave, do Red Right Hand.
Ooh,
that was
fun.
Fucking epic. But Umphrey's covers so many different bands. One of my favorite recent ones was I saw them in Asbury Park, New Jersey this summer, as I always do, and they played Hey 19. By Steely Dan, and they jammed the shit.
Right, was that on our? Oh yeah, R.I.P. And also a band that we've had defended on the podcast.
Have you already?
We both loved. Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Dan fucking
Nick
rules.
Nanny and Dan Perlman did that early on.
I just remembered a great cover I saw recently. Last year, I saw the Smashing Pumpkins at the Beacon Theater, and it was like maybe it was right after David Bowie had passed away, and Billy came out with just an acoustic guitar and played Space Oddity, and it was incredible.
Hell yeah!
It was so good.
Hell yeah!
What was the one I just had one? I have two. The when I went to see Always Live, and they covered
Always with the V's.
Yeah,
Always.
They covered the Primitive song that's like, I think it's called You Go Way Too Fast. Crash. It's from the Dumb and Dumber soundtrack. And it was incredible. Yes. I loved it. And then I also saw, when I saw Sturgill Simpson, I think he did the Promise cover. Sturgill Simpson
so
is great at covers.
Oh, he's amazing.
In
that
Bloom
man
is
can
great.
Make me cry. Oh, I know. Yeah, it's so good.
Humphreys does that one too.
They do In Bloom?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
They do a lot, man. They have so many sounds. It's so hard to put them on a 6-song playlist.
You know what I'd like to see the Smashing Pumpkins cover? Gallagher. Don't you smash some pumpkins?
I got an email recently that was promoting Billy Corgan's new solo tour.
Are you talking about William Patrick Corgan?
I'm about to say. William Patrick Corgan. It's very... It's very serious.
Is it like more to be more religious now or something?
It even like says WPC on it. Like he has a new logo.
I've heard of JP Morgan, but WP Corgan? I gotta tweet that. Hold up.
Well, we're gonna pause. Tommy's gonna tweet something.
So they cover. Yeah, that and they started out doing covers from what I was reading. They would start out with a mix of covers.
In 1998 or so, like they were a band that formed at Notre Dame.
Oh,
Indiana.
Oh, I know about it.
South Bend, baby.
South Bend. I think some points against them immediately. South Bend, Indiana is for hill people, and I don't like it. I just told this story on stage this weekend. Because me and my buddy Dwight Simmons, who was opening for me at Go Bananas, we worked together at South Bend once, and we had a whole weekend of just insane people talking to us. Like, we had two different cab rides where one of them was this guy who he was telling us that the town got ruined the day they started letting women go to Notre Dame.
Oh my God.
His point was, because women are so smart, so much smarter than men, it was unfair to the men.
He has a point. Men have been unfairly maligned for a very long time.
I've never heard somebody argue like, no, black people shouldn't get to vote because they're so much smarter
than
us.
Their picks would be better.
How's a white guy going to have a chance? Like, that's never the case. I had never heard somebody argue like that. And the other cab driver we had was this lady. She's a bigger lady with a very deep voice, and that's important because I was certain that she was a man the whole cab ride, and I was sitting in the back seat, and Dwight was like, we were drunk, and Dwight was like, will you take us to McDonald's? I'll buy your food. And she doesn't say a word to us. She just goes into McDonald's and starts ordering, and she doesn't say thank you or yeah, that sounds good. She starts ordering. She goes, give me a double quarter pounder with no cheese. Last time I had cheese, I had a fucking stroke. I was down for a year.
Into the drive-thru person.
Yes, to the drive-thru person. So then we leave the McDonald's. We get about, I would say, a half a mile down the road. We're so close to our hotel. She looks in the bag, brings the car to a screeching halt and goes, there's fucking cheese on here. Swerves it around as hard as she can, like U-turns. And then goes back up to the drive-thru window. She's just waiting, just like boiling. She's like, last time I had fun, they're trying to fucking kill me.
Oh,
I had a fucking stroke. Yeah, yeah. So then she looks inside the window. She sees the guy like working, and she goes, look at this fucking queer bouncing, prancing around like a fairy. And I was like, oh, shit. I was like, do you like... what's that all about, huh? Like, I was like, do you like hate gay people? And she goes, well, I am one.
Oh, my God.
What is happening? Like, it just blew my mind.
Yeah.
It's funny you mention that, because when you started talking about cab drivers and McDonald's drive-thrus, it brought me back to the last Humphrey show I went to in Bloomington, Indiana at the Bluebird.
Ooh.
Because that's exactly what happened to us, except none of the stroke or cheese thing. But we did it. we got McDonald's, and it was successful.
Yeah.
No one was disparaged.
Yeah.
There was no slurs.
Well, that was
thrown
Bloomington,
around.
Indiana. It's a little different there.
Yeah.
Although there's,
I don't think I've
slurs.
Ever been to South Bend, actually.
South Bend is a trash town. With a private college.
Yeah, I've been to Bloomington, and I dated a girl from Valparaiso.
Valparaiso.
Yeah.
Valpo.
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 Yeah, so South Bend, reading that they were from there, I was immediately like, oh, here we go. And so, the thing is, some of my best friends are from South Bend. I think John Handcuff might be from South Bend.
I think
he's from that area. He's a good
boy. I think they're thought of as more of a Chicago band because, like, you know, once they got the success that they saw at Notre Dame, they moved to Chicago together and then started touring. Well, they were always kind of touring a lot, but then they like settled down in Chicago and played all the time.
Yeah.
And now I think people would like when they go to Chicago, it's like a hometown show. They don't really go to South Bend anymore.
Yeah.
Those Halloween shows are too big for South Bend.
They move around a lot. They've been in Milwaukee the past few years.
I feel like they're at the Aragon or something.
The last time I saw them in Chicago was at the Aragon.
Okay.
And
so that's,
God, Chicago venues fucking suck. Do you guys talk about that on here a lot?
What you talking about?
Oh my God. Aragon, Riv, Vic, they're all just all the mid-sized venues. Like the sound is just bad. It's like I'll go see
I've
shows
seen
there.
I think Park West is great.
Park West is amazing.
Park
There's
West
a
is a beautiful.
There's new ones like Lincoln
Dude.
Hall's amazing.
Lincoln Hall's great.
Shubas is great. But like mid-sized like places that Arctic, I've seen Arctic Monkeys and like yeah.
That's awesome. Talia Hall is really cool.
Yeah, all the new ones again.
Yeah,
the Metro's fun. Have you been to the Metro?
Yeah, I love the Metro. I've been kicked out of the Metro. The only venue in Chicago I've been kicked out of.
No wonder you hate Chicago venues so much. Yeah, they won't even let you get all drunk and scream and mosh.
That was Black Keys Lollapalooza after show, in which I was handed a joint, wasn't even mine, took a hit of it, spotlight on me, out.
Damn.
With the first song, first or second song.
Damn, yeah. You got fucking set up.
But
man.
I love the Metro, despite that. It's a great venue.
I
saw one of LCD on the final tour, LCD at the Metro. Like, imagine that, like, small fucking room. It was great.
Wow.
I love music, you guys.
What do you guys
don't let my love for Humphrey.
Not to quick sidebar, what thoughts on the new LCD?
I think the new LCD is great, but I don't think it holds a candle to any of the other ones.
Okay.
I have a pretty similar thing. I really like it, and I've enjoyed
it. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
There's nothing I don't like about it. I just think it hasn't hit me the same way that the other any of the other
well,
ones
well, there's
have.
No, yeah, there's no song that I would put in their top 10.
No,
yeah.
But it's so solid. I think the first half of the album.
Tonight's amazing. Okay,
I do agree with you. I've come around on Tonight.
Yeah.
My ranking that I tweeted, I would change a little bit. Mm-hmm. I would put Tonight a little higher, and I would definitely make Emotional Haircut last.
Yeah.
But the singles that we know already that came out months ago. Mm-hmm. They just don't have the same impact as the rest of the album for me for some reason. But Tonight's good. I do like Tonight. But Call the Police and American Dream, again, in context, they're fine. But like, I find myself listening to the first half of the album a lot more.
I'm a big Other Voices fan.
Other Voices is awesome. That's like the most LCD sounding song on it. It sounds like it could be on another album.
Yeah. That could be a Sound of Silver song.
I saw LCD. So they did that residency at Book and Steel. I went to one of those. But before that, a year ago, exactly a year before that, they did those surprise Webster Hall shows.
Oh, yeah.
And I went to both of those. And so I've seen them three or four times. And I saw them at Panorama. So four times in the past year. And as an Umphrey's McGee jam band fan, it's annoying to see the same set list every fucking night.
They were doing the same set list.
They varied it up a little bit. Interesting. They added one of the nights, like something off 4533, like one of those like spacey jam things, and it was great. But for the most part, I understood what they were doing. This was the Webster Hall shows, especially. This was before they came back officially and were like touring and doing festivals. So they were working out their set.
Yeah.
And
right.
I get it. And then they toured festivals and did that set every fucking night. But I feel like James Murphy's probably fucking annoyed by that at this point. So I'm hoping on this, they have another 10 nights coming up at Book and Steel.
They'll have to.
I'm hoping they're going to I want to hear some of the new stuff, but I also want to hear a lot of the old stuff that they're just not playing anymore.
Plus, they're going to play that Christmas song because it'll be December.
God damn it. That's fucking true. Christmas
song. That's a great Christmas
song. I actually love that.
It's
like one of my favorite Christmas songs, honestly.
Yeah, I was saying, I can't think of like another band that did like a themed song tied to something, which I think we could lead into.
Mariah and LCD Sound System.
I was at my family's Christmas party that year, someone texted me or I saw a tweet or something that there was a new LCD Sound System song about Christmas, and I locked myself in the bathroom at the party and listened to it like three times in a row.
Dude, I think we all relate to that.
I associate now my two modern Christmas like nostalgia things are listening to that song and the Christmas jerseys on NBA 2K.
They're so great.
I remember playing with those jerseys with my brother-in-law and hearing that song because he likes them too. And
I'm Jewish.
Oh shit. Hold on. Hold for edit. We can't let people know our religious affiliations on this show. People get very upset.
Oh man. This isn't Stand By Your Zion.
Okay, so let's do a segue. Right. Yes. You've seen LCD Sound System four times in the past year. How many times have you seen Umphrey's McGee total? If you have a number.
Are you ready for this?
I'd love to hear your number.
97.
Oh what? Shit.
97?
97.
You made it sound like it wasn't that many.
Well, I have friends who are like in the 200s, so yeah, it doesn't seem like a lot to me. As someone who grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, I've known people who've seen them more.
Fuck.
Yeah.
97.
Did I beat your boy?
No, yeah. So I have my friend Brendan, who is a huge Umphrey's fan. I texted him today asking him how many times he's seen them, and he said 84 times. And I thought, that's insane. There's no way Brett will beat it.
That is crazy.
And he beat it by
I don't know if there's anything I've seen 97 times.
A disappointed look from your mom.
Yeah. Well, how dare you? My mother's a fine woman.
Love your mom.
She's a listener.
That's great.
Yeah. Both our moms. Yeah. The show.
The biggest subscribers to your Patreon account. I've seen them 97 times. I've seen Fish like just over 20 now because of they just did the 13 night run here. I saw them a bunch. I've seen LCD probably like 10 times total.
Wow.
I just like going to see live music. And then Arctic Monkeys are probably the next most at like, I think I've seen them 16 times or 17
times. Damn, I've seen them three times and I thought that was
good.
They're
the best. Yeah. They're the best.
I think I've seen Wilco twice and I think that's the most
I've seen Wilco about, I think, 18 or 19 times.
Damn.
I love
Daniel?
That band. Huh? Daniel, man?
Yeah, that's what I said when that new...
What year is this?
Wait, that's
Yeah, so I texted my friend Brandon because I knew he was a huge fan. So I asked him, give me three reasons why I should like Umphrey's McGee.
Ooh,
and he said musicianship, diversity of the music, and a face-melting live rock show, which I think, you know what?
I agree. I think I said all those things at some point.
But then before I had time to respond, he also sent... When they really start grooving, you can say that it's a dance party stew.
Yes.
I was like, that's where you lost me.
Do you want to know where this, I can explain the stew part.
Okay. Yeah.
Please.
Humphreys McGee calls their, or at one point they did. Now it's kind of just like the fans use it and they don't really like notate it on their set list anymore. But what they used to call their improv sections and the jam sections, Jimmy Stewart's.
Right.
Because they named it after they were in like a hotel jamming and they had this like
the room was called the Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah, the room was a Jimmy Stewart ballroom. So like they were just like, we're just going to call our improv that now. So then you could like Google this and find it. People like telling you the difference between an Humphreys Jimmy Stewart and an Humphreys Jazz Odyssey, which is like what they used to call them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a jazz like. And Jimmy Stewart is like a very complex form of improv where like some jam bands would take the same riff and repeat it and repeat it. And like, that's kind of the jam. Humphreys is like, I would say they're not just live improv. They're like doing live compositions. So like, they're just, I'm saying like what I said before, like they're such good musicians. They've been playing for so long together. They just have this chemistry that when you see them play, it's fucking crazy because you're watching them make songs. Like the way that Humphreys like writes new music is often by taking the Stewarts they do during live shows and like listening to them again and then writing a song around it. And that's like a lot of some of their huge hits come from that.
Yeah. That's weird because so like, that is the Second City method for sketch writing. I'm serious. That's how Second City writes sketches.
No, I know.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
and
yeah.
Whenever I start riffing on stage, I say, how'd you guys like that, Jimmy?
But I think as comics, you guys can maybe appreciate the
improv aspect. Obviously. Yeah, absolutely. I can appreciate some improvisation.
Yeah, that's the reason I've seen them 97 times because also I use it. I'm going to talk about, in addition to what your friend said, I think that's all true. They're amazing musicians. And like once they lock in, it's like crazy, but it's also like this community aspect of it where I've seen them 97 times. My first show was in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them a ton since then. And I've used it as an excuse to like travel the country and like meet people. And my favorite,
are you in like groups?
Yeah. There's Facebook groups. There's like, I would say, half my Twitter followers, like I have half like people who are like there for like hard news and like the shit I retweet, and then half the people are just like Humphreys fans who like
interesting.
Yeah, so like I would every time Humphreys is in town, there's huge Twitter meetups of like 20 to 30 of us. It's so much fun.
Yeah,
I have, like these are like my people. Like these are my friends now. Like I don't have real life friends. I have Twitter friends who see shows with me.
Yeah.
Tommy
has that same thing with his piss fetish friends.
Pissfreaks.org.
Yeah.
He travels the country seeing different
the
types
best
of piss.
I like the fact that I can go. I've seen them. I just counted before I got here. I've seen them in 15 states. And I think it's cool that I can go alone. I can get hop on a flight, go see a show in Dallas, Texas, for example, which I did. And I went by myself, didn't know anyone in Dallas. And I walk into the show and there's 15 to 20 people I know right
now. Ah, so, like, that's it's interesting.
It's a cool thing. You get to see all these cool venues across the country. Like I've seen you ever been to Penn's Peak?
No.
And like, I think it's Jim Thorpe, PA.
That's our future president. Mm.
It's an incredible venue, like in the mountains. It's like awesome. And then there's... I've gone to Red Rocks a couple times to see them, which is the fucking the best place to see music. I actually saw Vampire Weekend as my first Red Rocks
show. I
like
Vampire Weekend.
Which was amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I love the band, not only because I love the music, which I do. Like, I have friends who tried to get me into Phish first, and I didn't really take, but now now I like Phish. But the difference between Phish and Humphreys to me is Phish does one sound very well, I think, and like they just jam that. And Humphreys does like every sound on the... that's possible, and they do it very well. And like, you never know what kind of show you can get. Like, you can go on a Friday to an Humphrey show, and it's a full heavy metal rock show, and you'll be like, oh my god, I wasn't ready for that. Like, I wanted a dance show. And the next night will be all dancey and like reggae.
Interesting.
So it's
like,
that's why like they do 3-night runs, and I go all three. And it's like, it's kind of like, it's just the way, I don't know how to describe it other than like, it's its own thing.
But with Phish, you know what you're gonna get.
With Phish, it's just like, yeah, their sound, even though it's like, you don't know what you're gonna get in terms of song selection, I think that their music is all fairly similar. They don't really like, you know, tune their instruments down or anything. It's just like, we're playing this one, we're playing this one, we're noodling on this one. I don't mean to shit talk Phish.
No,
sorry,
no.
Listeners.
I just saw
Phish 8 out of 13 shows.
We're doing a Phish episode tomorrow, actually.
Oh my god!
So we're gonna be real jammed out by
yeah. You're gonna fucking hate.
And usually, I only listen to Phish on Good Friday.
Oh no!
Good lord!
What? Come on! I listen to Meatloaf the rest of the week.
Oh boy.
Old Fred.
Friend of the pod.
Meatloaf.
Yeah, yeah.
I heard Pope Francis is really in Humphreys McGee.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I also heard he voted for Trump.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, that was like the most
Wait, he can't vote?
First of all.
You know how popes get to vote in American
elections?
He
publicly spoke out against Trump.
I know. I'm just saying. I don't know if you guys saw the. I was referencing the most shared fake news story on Facebook,
which is that the Pope
voted for Trump, and it had like a million shares, and the article debunking it had like 5 shares.
Wow.
Like that's why Trump won, you guys. Let's get
political. I believe that young Pope voted for him.
Yeah,
so
dude, sexy ass Jude Law,
who's also from another country.
Yeah. He's godless. He's a godless Pope. Spoiler alert.
I didn't watch that. I really wanted to, though.
Did you watch it all?
I watched all but 2 episodes, I think.
Saving it for later.
I got bored.
I heard it was a lot of EDM.
What's that?
Is that true?
Electronic dance music?
I heard that the soundtrack had a bunch of EDM on it.
Actually, the soundtrack was a lot of Andrew Bird, which is really good. The themes, there was an ongoing theme throughout the show. Like, not their theme song, which was, I can't remember. It might be a Who song or something. But the ongoing theme was this Andrew Bird song that I was like, God, it's so pretty.
Yeah, he's a.
I realized that, like, 8 episodes in, that was all I was watching it for.
Just to hear that song. Yeah.
I can just listen to that
song.
Here
for that bird.
Yeah. Bring on the bird. Chirp, chirp.
Chirp, chirp.
Okay, I have a big question here.
Great.
Oh, shit. Will you marry Tommy?
I mean, it put me on the spot. You're looking mighty fine today.
All right. Have you ever seen Humphreys McGee sober?
Yes.
Ooh.
Okay.
All right. Good question. Shocking answer.
Yeah. I mean, again, Humphreys.
Keep
Fish.
In mind, for Stand By Your Band, 5 beers is sober.
Oh,
that's
well,
true.
5 beers is the sober
certainly.
Limit.
Yeah.
This is the sort of stuff that gets me in trouble.
They get labeled as that. I mean, and I'm not going to say that's not the scene because it is the scene. Like, people, you know, taking acid and going to the show. Like, that's a thing that happens. Have done it. We'll do it again. But
this is a cop podcast.
Sorry, Mom. Yeah, I know. My mom will listen to this, and I will get an angry text about this.
Nice.
But that's not why I go. Like, there's different factions of fans. I feel like a lot of them are there purely for the music. There are fans like that. You will know people who are 100% sober at the guardrail every show. There are people I know like that. Then there are people who partake in all the drugs every show, and that's kind of the reason they're there. You feel like. I mean, the music does take on, I guess, a life of its own in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen them sober. I've gone to, like, I think the longest run I went to was a 5-night run. And by the end of the, like, you know, by the end of night 5, I fucking hated them. I was like, I am not doing this again.
Yeah.
No way. I didn't drink that and I didn't do anything. And it was fine. Like, they will still impress sober. I do believe that. I think Fish, I needed the initial, like, here, take drugs and go see them to really appreciate, like, get into it initially. And then it was like, oh, I can listen to this sober now. But for Humphreys, I was never, the music has always been more important to me than, like,
than the drugs.
The altered states that
interesting,
I enjoy them in.
You used to be about the drugs, man.
Yeah.
This is a related comment. Joe McAdam, friend of the podcast.
Love Joe.
He wrote, I went to one of their shows on accident once. The music was very, very boring. The most boring music I think I've ever heard. But someone snuck a huge bong into the show, so I can't say I hate their fans as much as I should. That's a pretty gutsy move.
I love that. I've seen shit like that at shows.
Yeah.
They play this festival in Illinois, actually. And you know where Chillicothe, Illinois is?
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's like south, I think. They basically, like, it's their festival. It's called Summer Camp Music Festival.
They
headline every year, all 3 nights. That festival is just like a total no man's land, like the biggest drug trade you'll ever see. People do just bring giant bongs to, like, the show. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So my friend, I texted him and I asked him, like, do you have any crazy stories from Humphreys concerts? And his first response was, can it involve LSD?
Yeah. it probably will. Yeah.
Him and a work friend went to an Humphreys show and they were both tripping on LSD. And then they saw their manager from work was at the show.
Oh,
and they were like, oh no. But they'd end up, like, being rang. The show was canceled and their manager, like, found them and brought him back to their apartment and they just, like, partied till 4 a.m.
Oh my God.
That story has a happy ending. You think they knew that they were tripping? The person.
I don't know.
Wow.
But I guess that's the community that Humphreys brings.
Yeah, man. It's truly, it's all about that for me. I really do enjoy that aspect of it. And It's just a nice bonus that I think their music kicks ass.
You like this music. You sure do like this music.
I really do. I'm into heavy shit. So, like, yeah. The fact that, like, I can get that and I get the improv that keeps me, like, excited to see them every night, you know? I like that. I like this band, you guys.
Before we forget, let's listen to this Chicago song. We're talking about how big they are in Chicago.
I'm sorry that I just said how much I love them, and now they're playing this.
This is my one demand for doing this podcast, was that we played this
song.
Should
we set it up, or are we just going to play it?
Yeah, let's set it up.
The Chicago Tourism Board asked Umphrey's McGee, Buddy Guy, and Chicago, the band, to do this song for the city of Chicago. And I will preface it again by saying that I don't think any city's tourism anthem has been good.
It's also weird, like, as if there were no songs about Chicago yet.
Yeah, there are so many. There are so many. Sweet Home Chicago's fine. What's wrong with
that? We don't need another one. No, we're good.
So this is that song. Yeah.
Before this, they just had that Fall Out Boy song.
Chicago so 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's kind of like not even, it's not pro Chicago.
But Umphrey's, not only do they not have never played this song live, they will never bring it up, and they will never play it.
All right.
When you say they will never bring it up, have they been asked about it? Like,
I'll get into Umble after the song. I'll tell you what that is. It's like an event they do every year. It's in that involves fan participation, and yeah. I every year write it in.
It's a
request, and it'll never happen.
Yeah, it's like a
troll.
Sit down, be umbo.
That should be their slogan for next year.
All right,
let's play Kendrick the whole
time.
Here
is Chicago.
Your attention, please. This is Chicago.
Oh, this is relatable. Yeah, this is a parody of a very song.
There's so much more than meets the eye.
This is Brendan Bayless on vocals.
From the water to the sky, every corner holds a new surprise. This city shines, there's no limit to how high. With no comparison, don't try. Always a smile.
Another 3 minutes.
Wait till you get to the Jimmy Stewart.
Please spare us. Okay, so I don't like this band anymore, and you guys did your job. Is that the premise of the pod?
No, that's not it.
Are you supposed to turn me on my favorite band?
No, we
just don't talk about that song.
Did you guys know, because they do Jimmy Stewart's during their shows sometimes, but sometimes in the middle of a jam, they'll bring Donald Trump on stage and rub their fingers through his hair, and they'll call it a Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, my God.
Did you write that like an hour ago?
No, I just Jimmy Stewarted it.
The Tonight Show.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bad song.
All the reasons why you're second to Colbert.
We're a pro Fallon podcast.
Are you guys like Antifa, but for Fallon?
Hell yeah, it works.
We're profa.
That
was going to say Queen Antifa again.
Oh, God.
So many riffs.
All right. I wanted to read another another comment here because my friend Britt Wiseman just wrote a big old thing on here that I liked. She wrote, "I fucking hate them. My boyfriend in college was obsessed with them and dragged me to their shows, then asked me for gas money to get home."
Did I date her in college? Who is this?
This is my friend Britt. Then she goes, "He was a bassist in a band called Turbo Spank and worked at a pizza place and sold weed. He's now in a 7-piece Steely Dan cover band. We don't talk anymore."
He sounds awesome. You guys suck.
You're not going to like this. Then she said, "We also got in a fight once and I pulled one of his 1 in 500 Humphreys McGee framed poster off the wall and smashed it."
Oh,
damn.
So she doesn't come off looking great in this story either. Yeah. Violence is never the answer, Britt.
That's the thing. They're also great at merchandising. They got posters for every show. There's hoodies.
Well, they're rich as hell, according to another one of our commenters said that she saw
weird.
His tax return.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was legal.
That was very odd.
Yeah, that was very odd. But yeah, they are. You can kind of factor it in. Like, dude, they sold out 3 nights at Red Rocks. Like, that's like, what, 10,000 people a night? Like,
damn.
They're like a, for a band that no one's ever
like
heard
80,
of, they're
people.
Very popular.
Yeah, I noticed on Spotify how many listens they had. And then every comment's like, no one knows who they are. And it's like, they have like at least 2 million.
Dude, that was why. Okay, so originally when you pitched Humphreys McGee, I was like, I don't really know them. And then I searched them and I was like, oh, no, they are big. Like,
they sell out around the country. There are pockets of the country where like they'll have a show and no one will come. But like for the most part, they're well known enough to, and it's like, because the fans travel with them. Like, they'll sell out anywhere. Like, they'll play anywhere. The beauty of living on the East Coast for me right now is that they, even though they're from Chicago, their whole thing now is like, we're trying to expand and go other places. So I've seen them more since moving to the East Coast than I did when I was living in Illinois. Because they play, first of all, they just played Central Park in July, and they're back here.
How's that?
It was awesome. They're back here in October. They're playing 2 nights at the Cap and 1 night at Brooklyn Bowl.
Brooklyn Bowl will be awesome.
Yeah, it'll be great. That venue's way too small for them. It sold out instantly. It's like, that's what, like a 800 person.
Is that
room
where
or
Always is playing?
They're playing at Brooklyn Steel,
which
that's
is
right.
huge.
The new
and
venue.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome fucking sick. Venue. I would love to see Humphreys play there. I don't know why they did Brooklyn Bowl instead, but I'm happy because I got tickets, even though a lot of people got screwed because it's such a small venue.
Mm-hmm.
But that would, what was I saying? That would have been my 100th show if I didn't. I have to go to a wedding. I'm seeing Humphreys on Friday. Flying to Ohio on Saturday, going to a wedding, flying back, seeing Humphreys on Sunday.
Damn.
That's dedication.
Wow. That's a fine weekend.
Yeah.
You're going to be all lit up.
Yeah, dude. I'm excited about it. What was the question? I forgot what happened.
Fuck.
I don't know if we had a question. Let's talk about how you got into them.
Oh, sure. So I had, growing up in Skokie, Illinois,
where Kaiser Sose is from, famously.
Yes, famously. From the film The Usual Suspects. I just have always...
Imagine the person who doesn't know what Kaiser Sose is from.
There's got to be one out there. That was from my mom, who's listening. Watch that movie, Mom. You'd like it. Kevin Spacey. Mwah. It's great.
He's a babe.
Total babe. It's like better than K-Pax.
Oh, yeah. God. Oh, man. I can't get through that movie with my pants on.
He's a babe. K-Pants off.
Yeah.
So I just... I had known of them, and I just didn't care. Like, I had friends trying to get me into them, and I just didn't really care. And then I went – this is kind of a long story, but I went to see Dave Matthews for the first time after deciding I hated them without really knowing them. I was convinced to go because the Roots were opening. Mm-hmm, so I went with my friend's mom – and my friend, not just my friend's mom. It was a hot date.
Her name was Mrs. Robinson.
We drove to Alpine Valley, East Troy, Wisconsin, about an hour and a half from the city. And I saw the Roots open for Dave, and then I kind of fell in love with Dave for a while.
Yeah.
So then the next year, or maybe 2 years later, 2 years later, I think it was, I went to see Dave again at Alpine Valley both nights in July.
Yeah.
And guess who opened for those motherfuckers?
The Guess Who?
Guess Who opened.
Wow.
And then
what a show.
Tangentially, I found out about Humphreys.
Yeah. Somebody who was a Guess Who fan mentioned Humphreys.
Oh, God. So I saw Humphreys open for them, and I thought they were awesome. And then I just kind of forgot about them for like a year. And then I went to college. And then I went to college at U of I. Urbana-Champaign. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure it's still true that the Canopy Club, the club that I worked at while I was there, is the venue they've played the most times ever, anywhere. So they just go there all the time. This is right on the cusp of them being too big to go there. So like when I was in college, they were still going there, and now they don't anymore. But so I just started seeing them a lot. Like they'd come to U of I at least once a year and play like a 2 or 3 night run. And I would see them. And then when I was in college, oddly enough, I had a lot of free time. So by my junior and senior year, I was pretty much going to class. And then like on the weekends, I'd probably be traveling to see Humphreys. I spent, I think I looked at my stats. I think there was 1 year in college I went to 25 shows.
I have your card, and it says that that year your average was.
I was a smart boy.
That's a good picture of you.
So yeah,
just
I got into
you with
them.
Headphones on.
I just got into them, you know, by seeing them a bunch, and then like once you do that, you kind of get hooked, and it's easy to. It's like how obsessive sports fans are about stats. Like, Humphreys fans are statisticians, a lot of them. Like, they'll be like, they haven't played this song in X many shows, and I saw it. They're always chasing something. Like,
the only X many show I like is Legion. That's a very good joke.
The pure silence is so good.
Are they in that show? Is that an X-Men show?
That's an X-Men show.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Pretty good.
Do you get the joke now?
I just wanted you to sit in it for a second. I mostly just wanted to hear your catchphrase. Not a bad joke.
Bad joke.
How did we get
I saw.
There?
I know this isn't really related, but I saw one of the best concerts I've ever seen in my life in Champaign, Illinois.
What was it?
I was seeing Hop Along in a venue that held maybe 40 people, and I drove 2 hours for it.
Was it Cobra Club?
Incredible.
I mean, Hop Along.
It might have been. It was upstairs.
No.
Okay.
Upstairs.
Yeah, there was a bar downstairs, and then upstairs is this tiny venue, and I saw Hop Along there, and
Mike
it was
and
so
Molly's
great.
Mike and Molly's, maybe? I don't know.
That sounds right.
Okay.
Is it Mike and Molly's?
Yeah, that's the name it's of a name of a sitcom and a bar.
Wow.
I think it was a bar first. They stole it.
Those pieces of shit.
Melissa fucking McCarthy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Tammy?
I was listening to Hop Along all week.
So good.
I like to run to them.
Run Along by Blues Traveler. Are we doing word association?
That's Run Around.
Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, what the fuck?
All right, Tom, had you ever heard of Humphreys?
I had not until this. And then when I started digging a little deeper, I realized, I saw their logo or something. I was like, oh, this looks
bro.
But it's like... it's weird that I didn't know more of them
as a Chicago
in Indiana.
Boy.
I'm from Indiana.
That's
so
right.
And then Chicago. So you'd think I'd be doubled down on it. And you know, I liked Notre Dame too. I was like, and if actually this is a fun fact, if you listen closely when you watch Rudy, you can hear Humphreys McGee in the background. They're playing.
That's what the chant is at the end.
Humphreys, Humphreys, Humphreys. Yeah, so I'm shocked that I didn't know about these guys before now. And they cover a lot of things I like. Like, I was just looking at their Spotify top five, and Weird Fishes is
on
their
top five.
Yeah,
that at Red Rocks. I was there. It was beautiful.
Really? And Weird Fishes, one of my favorite Radiohead songs. So I'm surprised I didn't hear the cover. I kind of want to hear it. I'll probably listen to it after this show.
It's not bad.
If it sounds just like Weird Fishes.
It does, because they're technically impressive. And they're singing.
Just listen to that Radiohead version.
I would say it's hard to like muster up enthusiasm in people that haven't heard them without just going to a show.
Yeah.
I would love to force you guys to see them
when they
were here.
I'm open to that. I've never gone to a jam band show unless you count Wilco as a jam band, which I don't.
I do, because when I saw them, they played, what was it? I think 3 nights at the Cap a couple years ago. And they treated it as if they were a jam band doing a residency. They did not repeat a song the whole weekend, which is incredible for a band that's not a jam band.
Yeah.
They just have such an extensive catalog.
I know, then I saw them
at Beacon this year, and I was considering going till they did like a bunch of nights.
Uh-huh.
And they just did. It was because they were touring that album, so it wasn't like that. It was like the kind of the same set with a few differences.
Sure, sure.
I think you would really just get lit up and enjoy the fucking jam. I think you would really like it.
You should come to the Cap show, man. Maybe I will. I'm down to check it out because it takes a lot for me to... We're going to have the same shit with the Fish episode where...
Yeah, you are.
I'm going to hear a lot of we need to see it live. But I do think that there's something about a band recording good music where it's like, shouldn't that be a thing?
Well, then
you
listen to some of the originals I put on there.
We'll get to it. I think we should cover... Because we haven't really... We've talked about the criticism as in they're boring and stuff like that. And that seems to be
That's
a lot
crazy criticism because they're not boring.
One criticism... Because I had to... Finding the... finding criticism of this band, because you told me it was something you felt like people shat on a lot, and I found out that I had to get really into like forums to.
You got to go to like Fantasy Tour. You got to buy some bitcoins before you can talk shit.
I had to learn a lot to understand the criticism of this band, and a lot of it was learning about these Jimmy Stewarts and how people.
Jam band fans are the best.
One of the things that people were shitting on them for is they felt like their improv was fake, or like that it was forced.
That's the dumbest criticism. It's such bullshit. Because there are times when like they'll bring back like a jam that they did like 8 years ago, and there'll be some jam fan who like finds it and is like, "This is cheating." But it's like that's part of like that's separate from an improv jam. It's like this is a Jimmy that's a Stewart jam, and we're gonna see. I sound like a fucking idiot right now.
A jam.
You know what's crazy?
We're doing jams now.
This is a jazz odyssey.
It's crazy that that's what Jimmy Pardo does. Jimmy Pardo riffs a whole show, but he brings back things, and a Jimmy Stewart is the same thing.
They should call it a Jimmy Pardo.
They should call it a Jimmy Pardo.
Isn't that crazy?
They should call
shows
Pardos.
Are never not funny. So.
I was thinking.
I'm a huge Jimmy Pardo fan.
Yeah, we love Jimmy Pardo.
Podcastathons, like I look forward to Podcastathon.
So
we were just talking about this weekend. The idea of trying to make it seem like, because I think there's two different things here. Jimmy Pardo is maybe the only comic that I like to watch who makes it seem as if he just came up with something.
Sprezzatura.
When he didn't. Yeah, that's the name of his album. I have it framed right next
y'all
to
y'all talking
us.
Cinema Verite?
Yeah, he's a genius, but there are some comics who do that where I hate it, where it's like, I know what you're doing. You're trying to make it seem like you just came up with this riff where you didn't, and it's not that funny.
It's like, where are you from?
The one that I saw Jimmy Pardo say that he goes I pay my bills, I pay my automobiles. It was so stupid that I was that's such a ridiculous thing to say, and me and my friends in the show were losing our minds. And then I saw him do it like a year later, and it kind of hurt, like bummed me out. I thought that was our special moment. So I get that, like, I get a fan being annoyed if they think that's
I get that too, but I think that again is separate. Like, their jams aren't fake. Like, their improv is real when it is. And then, like, there are moments when they're bringing back something from the past. And then that's not a, like, it's a jam. It's a different kind of jam. So there's, like, segments.
Sure.
You put jams in different boxes, you know?
You could have said jars. Yeah.
It seemed so obvious.
You guys are fucking locked in. I love that.
This is the difference between guys who like 3-minute songs and guys who like 15-minute songs.
See, yeah. So, like, an ideal Umphrey set for me would be a 4-to-5 song set where they jam fucking hard.
Whoa.
And then, like, that'll happen. Whoa. That'll happen once every, I don't know, every, like, 25 shows or something. Like, that's something that great will happen. And then a lot of the time it's just, I don't know. But there are fans. I'm the kind of fan who likes the improv above everything else. I would, like, there's a show they did in Madison, Wisconsin, I think 2 years ago, where it was an all improv set, and I fucking flew out there for that because that's the kind of shit I want to see, and it was fucking amazing. But there are fans I know who would rather just see them play their favorite songs, you know, and like they don't care how many it is, and that's why I kind of like them more. That's why I like Umphrey's more than Fish, is because Umphrey's per show jams so much more than Fish. Like, Fish, you're lucky if you get like a 20-minute jam. You're so lucky. Can you imagine how lucky you'd feel when you got a 20-minute Fish jam? But like, they're laughing so hard at me right now. It's incredible. Oh boy. But that's why I had a lot of fun at this Fish run, because Fish is like, you know, Fish stayed at MSG for 13 nights. Like, they didn't tour. They were just like
how
locked
many did
you go in to? 8. And that allowed them to do a lot of fun stuff that they haven't done, like jam a little more and do a lot of weird fun covers and stuff.
What did they cover?
They did a Radiohead cover. Everything in its right place, I think.
Love that song.
It sounded like, okay, so their vocals are just bad. So like that,
Fish
I can't listen to a Fish cover on repeat. Like, if I'm there and I'm drunk, I fucking love it. I'm like, this is so much fun. Then you listen back and it's like, oh God, that sounds really bad.
Yeah.
So like, I have like friends who would like, you know, because like every night of the run, they would do some weird cover, and it would get on like written up on like Consequence of Sound, and all my friends would be like, I listened to that. They covered like White Winter Hymnal by Fleet Foxes.
I saw that getting shared around.
Right, exactly. And then
Fish did that?
Yeah,
when
Fish
they were
did that. Yeah, yes. They opened a show with that. And again, like, it just sounds bad to me. And so everyone would, like, it gives people ammo, because it's like, I agree that sounds bad. That's not why I'm at the Fish show. Like, I'm there for the fucking jams, bro. Oh,
did you ever do a couch tour?
Yeah, that I did it all weekend. Yeah. Couch tour, for those who don't know.
Yeah. What is that?
These bands, like Fish and Unfreeze and like whatever iteration of the Dead is still around right now, which is with John Mayer, if you can believe it. Ooh. Dead and Company. It's fucking great. Another episode.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. What was I saying?
What were you talking about them being live at Madison Square Garden? And you were,
Fish... when they're live,
you saw them.
I already forgot where all this was going.
Oh shit!
I'm a jam band fan, you guys. My brain is mush. But what I wanted to say at some point was that Fish at the Garden, they did one night that was. So every night was themed. It was a baker's dozen, okay? So, like, it was donut themed. So every night had, like, a tonight's powdered. And you're like, what's that mean?
Everyone does coke.
Right. That was the joke. But one of the nights, just one, was jam-filled. Jam-filled donut night. So, like, first of all, they gave you them when you got there. There were donuts. It was really cool.
Oh, that's nice. That sounds delicious.
It was great. But my whole thing was, luckily I was at that show. I would have been really pissed if I didn't get tickets to that one. Because that is what I want from a Fish show. I want them to jam. So, of course, that set is now, like, legendary because they played this song called Lawn Boy, which is notoriously, like, a filler song. Like, not, like, a song that has a jam. It's a two-minute thing. They jammed it for, like, 30 minutes. And, like, that whole show, the second set, also just jam. It was all jams. It was basically just improv. So that was ideal Fish for me. And then it also kind of ruined the rest of the run for me. Because I'm like, why do you need a gimmick to play your best show? You have that ability every fucking night to jam out that hard, to do what the fans actually want. Like, everyone's going ape shit. But then they just went on and played normal shows the rest of the time. So that's what pisses me off, and that's why I respect Umphrey's more.
It's funny that you say that, though. I was looking at Umphrey's Twitter earlier. They kind of did a similar thing where they have a specific type of show where it's not a set list. It's a playlist.
The song list show?
Song list show, yeah. And they were like, should we do that again, or do you not want that? And people were like, just fucking do it. Like, what are you talking about?
Fucking
why are you asking us?
Yeah. That brings me to Umbol, which I want to talk about. Umbol is an event. They didn't do it this year, but they've done the past, I want to say, 7 years before that. Think of it as like Umphrey's McGee Super Bowl. They announce it on the Super Bowl, usually. Yeah. And it's this event. It's four quarters of music.
And it's rigged.
Each hour. Yeah. It's rigged. Yeah. You can bet money on it. But it's very fan interactive. Like you get like a ballot and you get to vote on what you want to hear. And the show is actually really cool and interactive. So they first of all just like play the first set, I think, is just like songs that people voted for the most, so like fan selected songs. Then they'll do a Stew Art quarter, which is like people voted on their favorite improv from the past however many years, and they'll pick one of those, whoever one gets the most votes, they'll like narrow it down and then like play that one and like work it into a song. Kind of like a lot of new songs get born there. So that's quarter two. And then quarter three is this is a fun one where like you just text in like words, like not even songs, just like ambient disco jam, and like words randomly appear on screen and they have to start playing like that. So it's just straight improv of like based
on
themes.
But it's all genres.
Or not even genres. It could be anything. You could say like Oprah Winfrey jam and they'll be like, whatever the fuck that means, we'll figure it out. Like it's just like weird. You could think of anything. Hopefully music related, but like people have said weirder shit. And then the last quarter is Choose Your Own Adventure, where like it's like a, there's option A and option B and you vote as they go, and like it's really fun to watch because like they'll be jamming and like you know another song's coming and like you have to choose between A and B, and like it's like 50%, it's like 51-49, like what's it gonna be.
Ooh.
And they'll start jamming into it, so like it's so much fun. This band just values the fan experience to the point of like I just totally bought in. Like I understand like that show costs a lot of money. It's like a $200 show. Like they just understand what their fans want and they are very good about providing it to them. They're like, hey, we know that you love us so much that you would spend $300 to come see us with an open bar and like this cool show. Like, so we're gonna do that every year. So they do
open bar.
That's a different thing from Unbowl. That's they call those Bill Graham shows. That was like a private event that turned into a thing they did a few times. It was essentially, I think, 250 people each paid $250, I think, to get like a private show. And like the first person who did it, his name is Nick Morales, Nick Mo in Chicago. I think the origin of this is that Umphrey's on their website at one point had like a tiered system of like, if you give us this much money, here's what we'll do for you. And I think it was 50 grand for them to just play a show.
How much for head?
Yeah. If you pay us 50 grand, we'll play a show. 20 grand, we'll each blow you.
Each.
And that reminds me, if you subscribe to our Patreon for a measly $3 a month, me and Tommy will take turns blowing you.
Okay, here's something that may be interesting, maybe it won't be. I think it's weird that fan service is something that is positive in music and negative in every other form of art.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, I remember there's that story of Picasso.
Pablo?
Yeah, Pablo. He had a fan who was like, hey, why don't you draw me with a big crank, huh? Pablo drew it. Everybody was pissed. They were like, this is bad work. So he cut his ear off.
Yeah.
He was so upset about it.
That is how that happened.
In this story, Vincent Van Gogh is just a Picasso fan.
Hey, history's history, bitch.
That's an interesting point, though, the fan service thing. Because like when I'm watching Twin Peaks, for example, and like that's a bad example, I think, because it's very actively against fan service. But like there are moments where it is like,
yeah, they did.
All
something,
right, fans want to see these two people fuck. Like, let's do it. Like there are moments of that where it's like, okay, like thank you. Mm-hmm. But I think it's different for live music because it is live. It's like an experience, and it's like you feel like you're participating in a way. Maybe I'm trying to justify because I really don't. It's a good question.
No, I think in comedy and in music, people get it because people want to see a show where it's like they feel like they're part of it, and so it's like feeling an energy thing. I think somewhat.
It's like a late breakfast.
Last Saturday's at the Greek.
Yeah, I'll never be at one again.
Why am I doing your plugs for you? What is this?
But you're right in most. And I think even in music, a lot of people don't like it except for certain bands.
That's
like,
interesting. I think you're right about
that's what we talked a lot about the Coldplay in the Coldplay episode is the transformation they had. It feels like they picked a thing that maybe they thought people wanted. And it's like, that's not what a lot of us got in for. Mm. But I felt like they
you
leaned
mean
into
the
something.
Arena kinda,
so yeah, they wanted to go mass appeal over what they were doing with like, Rush of Blood to the Head. And
so would you say that a band playing their hits at a show is fan service rather than like, hey, we're The Who and we have a new album and it's 2017 and we're going to play it? Like, no one wants to hear that.
I mean, I would rather see the concert where they play
the hits.
Right. Or not even just
the
hits.
I like the mix.
Yeah, not even just the hits, but songs from the albums that you love.
The specifically,
you know what I mean? Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It doesn't like when Weezer goes on like a Pinkerton tour.
That,
which
like, I love that.
Which I
yeah.
went on, and I went to, and it was awesome.
I saw Weezer four times. That might be one of my number ones.
I kind
of
wish more bands would just go back and like tour a specific
That's
album.
Yeah, always fun. Yeah.
Bayside, a band that I used to like in junior high, I think, they're doing the tour of the one album that I know of theirs in New York. I'm like,
that's
I'm going to fucking go now.
If Fall Out Boy would go back and play
Take Us to Your Grave
or Russia, or not Rush, Under the Cork Tree, I would go see it.
For sure.
Probably. Yeah. I don't know.
If Manson did that album they put out... They should pardon him.
Dude, Manson
let him do one
Folsom
tour. Then.
Wait, he's dead now, isn't he?
Manson's
Didn't
alive.
Didn't he die?
No.
He's alive.
I thought
he's outliving
recently.
Everyone. It's crazy. Everyone notable from the 60s is dead except
Manson. Cult starting again.
Maybe, maybe he was sick recently or something that I'm thinking.
They're doing
about.
A reboot of the cult.
He got divorced.
Oh, that's the sickliest you can be. A sickness of the heart.
The woman who wanted to own his corpse or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd want to own his corpse.
Should we?
We should be jumping into these
songs.
Said
we didn't. I will just say my quick history with them. They were a band that like a lot of my friends were obsessed with when I was in like maybe eighth grade in high school. Like my friends would go to summer camp every year, would see them all the time. And for me, I never hated it, but it always felt like the time in the car when we were driving around when it wasn't my turn to choose the music.
It's always
that. So they're like symbolic of that to me. Like, not my choice. You know what I mean?
Kind of and I feel like if you're in a car with Umphrey's fans, no matter how long the drive is, you're only listening to Umphrey's.
Well, and it's not fair because you'll
their
pick
songs
a song
are 17
three.
Minutes.
I did that on purpose to troll you guys. I was hoping you'd be on a plane somewhere like minute 18 of Ringo here.
I'm sure the fish is going to be even more.
Should we?
Really quickly, I just want to comment because a lot of people hate their name. That's a lot.
Oh, their name is terrible.
Yeah, what's the origin?
They're the first to admit it. If you want to read it,
the origin is very annoying, in my opinion.
It's just dumb.
It's just a friend of the, like, it was
his cousin, I think.
Yeah,
it's Brendan Bayless's cousin.
It was like a friend's cousin or something like that.
It's the lead singer's cousin's name is Humphrey McGee,
yeah,
I believe.
That's it.
So they, like, just jokingly did it. Like, they're like, Jethro Tull's not a person, so, like, who cares? Let's just do it.
They just liked that name. It's so
but they'll be the first to make fun of their name at this point. Like, they're like, you know, I bet they feel crazy. Like, they're this popular now. Like, shit, we're named Humphreys McGee.
Yeah, it's Brendan
Bayless' cousin,
I think, his cousin.
Yeah, I know this story.
Yeah.
I like this band. Another thing I just want to quickly say about the fan service-y stuff, to the point of, like, the things on Spotify, the couple songs that I put in that are live, those are on Hall of Fame albums, mm-hmm. which are every year we vote, fans vote on the best jams of the year, and they put them on vinyl, and they put them on Spotify, and it's, like, a collection of the best jams of the year. So that's another part of, like, hey, we know that you like us. Here's some fan service. Mm-hmm. And they also do this thing that I hope becomes standard at concerts. It's incredible. It's called Headphones and Snow Cones, which is a reference to one of their songs off one of their first albums. But it basically is, when you go see Humphrey's show, pretty much at every venue they do now, you can pay, it's an extra $40 plus a ticket. You get headphones like this, like studio headphones,
uh-huh.
that are tied into the soundboard. Oh. So you watch the show and you hear perfect sound quality.
That is cool. And wait, are they wireless?
They're wireless. Or, like, they're like, you have a little pack. They're like,
yeah.
They're like,
but
they're,
I mean, they're
basically
not
wireless.
Like, you're not connected.
You're not hanging out at the soundboard or anything.
I was picturing a real nightmare.
Logistical nightmare.
Like a pack of dogs from
how
a
do
dog
we do
walker.
This?
Yeah.
But you have, like, you will see concerts entirely differently if you were ever to do that. I hope you guys come to a show just so I can, like, put those on your head when they're playing. Because, like, first of all, if you're ever annoyed, the worst thing about going to shows, which I go to probably 2 or 3 shows a week, fucking talkers. People talk at shows now like it's a fine thing to do.
I hate that, and I hate the guy who I'm okay with some people singing along, but there are some times where,
like,
it's
belting,
like,
it.
Yeah, like I went to see Ben Folds with Josh Cox, and I got so fucking mad at him because he was screaming the lyrics.
Oh, Josh,
it's like, it's just a fucking, it's him playing piano and singing. It's not like a huge live
singing,
band.
Like the luckiest.
He was doing that. That's exactly what he was doing, Tommy. Like, it was. I was so mad. We got into a fight after it. He was like, "Oh,
shit.
I'm sorry, I ruined the recital for you. It's a concert." And I was like, "No, it was a recital. It's a man playing
piano.
It's
a literal recital.
That is the definition of recital."
It was,
yeah.
And there were girls behind us talking, and it was like,
yeah,
it was such a bad experience.
Going to concerts, it's amazing how much I love them, because it's like, I really do hate it a lot of the time because of outside factors. But the headphone thing makes it so. There's noise canceling.
Yeah.
You don't hear shit except the music. And I can't describe how incredible it is to, like, stand there. See, like, first of all, another part of Humphrey's I haven't even talked about is, like, the light show. It's just, like, they have very expensive, crazy lights that rival, like, any other band you've ever seen. Like, the biggest production, even though they're this small band. It's insane. Seeing that with the headphones on, it's just like, this is what concert going should be. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And if other shows did that, like, I see shows at Broken Bowl all the time. People talk there that whole fucking time, always.
Mm-hmm.
I would pay another $40 to get headphones to avoid that.
I like that idea a lot. I'll give
it's Humphreys, smart. They're innovative.
Before we even start,
they're innovative.
I was about to say, before we even start the playlist, I'll say that they are very smart. They're like, they are very good.
They're good at what they do.
Businessmen.
Yes.
And I mean, that's innovative as hell.
What's
never heard of anybody doing that before.
Of people that do it, would you say? Like, when
oh,
you look
very
out
small.
In the crowd.
There's only a handful. Like,
oh, okay.
Like, they sell out. Like, there's probably like 20 or
oh,
25.
Wow. And
people
you still get one.
Yeah, I mean, if you request it early enough, you'll get it. It's pretty new. They've only been doing it like 2 or 3 years.
That's a cool idea.
Yeah, that is a cool idea.
It's great.
I like it.
Headphones and snow cones, music industry.
So let's listen to this playlist. The first song, Bridgeless.
Hell yeah.
Turn it up. And
this is about Terabithia, right?
Is that right?
If there's any specific, yeah, that's the one. If there's any specific part you want to skip to,
oh, no,
please do, because we're not going to listen to the whole song. I'm sure you do. This song is 8 minutes and 50 seconds.
This song, even though it was first played by Humphrey's in 2004, didn't make it on an album. I'm going to think about jam bands.
I was wrong. It's exactly 9 minutes. Thank you. it's going to be hard to give any of these songs a truly fair listen because they're so long and they evolve into such different things.
Who has the time?
Yeah. So, but I'll say that's a pleasant listening experience.
Yeah, that is one of a quintessential Umphrey song. Mm-hmm. What I like about, or jam bands are so interesting in that, like, you know, they are very tour heavy. So like all their songs kind of, fans know their songs before they end up on albums, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, that song was debuted at a show in 2004. It's a staple. They play it all the time. It was never even thought of to be put on a studio album. It's just like, oh, yeah, we should record that on a studio album when we make a new one.
Mm-hmm.
So that came out on the last album. And it's one of my favorite songs by them. It kind of gets to their huge, how big their sound can be. Like, just fucking roaring guitars.
Yeah.
I was surprised at how high the bass was turned up in that.
Yeah.
Bass. Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Which I like. Yeah, I like that.
Their bassist, Ryan Stasek, is incredible. Big fan. And the next one, when you go to, this is another staple. We can play a few bars of it, and then I will skip to the jam.
Okay. Let's do that. So this is
I know exactly
Ringo.
Where the jam starts.
This is a specific recording.
Yeah, this is, I was at the show. This is February 6, 2016 in Albany, New York.
Oh, you were here? Wow.
I was there. Both live songs I put up here, I was at.
Where were you February 6th, 2016?
I ran into Gilbert Godfrey after the show.
In Albany.
He was staying at the same hotel. He was doing a show. He was getting ice.
Fuck, I can't do it.
Damn, wang. The tsunami was good.
All right, I'm going to skip to the jam. Can you put it back?
Yeah. Oh, shit.
So this is just like, you know, the song right now. But I'm going to skip to a part where like the improv begins. This is still. This is where the jam is about to start.
It's hard with to nail down the ball because it's a 15-minute song. The bar is so small.
It's just gonna get loose. Like that bass too. On the fly. This isn't written. This is just them.
I mean, Jimi Hendrix wrote it.
That's like if you just did somebody's joke on the fly. Like, no, I just thought of that joke that I heard. The Rodney Dangerfield joke.
No respect. I just like the way this jam in particular evolves. So you can kind of hear all the moving pieces. Like,
yeah.
The guitar starts doing its thing, and then Joel's about to come in with the keys, I think. I'm only working with one ear here. And this jam evolves. There's there's a second jam section. There's a second jam section. The other jam that I put in here, that's like a live one, is a really good bass heavy one. So I think Tommy's gonna like it. Tommy
that
loves that
fun.
Bass.
That one, I did like how that one evolved. It's tough because this playlist I had to give one. I gave it a new type of listening where I was one waiting for my fucking luggage at the airport.
So you already hated it.
and then I was at the Apple store picking up my computer here, and then I was in a good mood after that. So my mood transitioned, and then I started liking this again. When I listened the second time, I was like, this isn't bad. But the problem was, listening like that, I couldn't tell the songs apart at points because they just jam, and then it's like a different song. I'm like, wait, is this still the same song? So this one I remember the second time listening being like, there's some parts that I am into with this. It's pleasant. It's not like there were some Fish songs I listened to this past weekend that I felt the opposite about, where I was like, it's jamming in a way where I'm like, I don't want this. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's move on.
This is one of the matchups that I reluctantly put on here just to talk about, but we already talked about it, so I shouldn't have put it on here. Huge mistake.
It was a mistake.
Should we skip ahead in this one to where they...
Maybe if we have you get a little bit of both somehow?
Yeah.
You don't know what time it switched, do you?
Yeah, it'll get... It's not that long. I think we'll get to it.
I'm going to skip up a little, though.
Yeah, he really sounds like...
He does. He's great at that.
He is a great boy.
When they cover Injustice for All, it's fucking great. I love the songs that Chris Myers, the drummer, sings. He was, has his master's in my jazz. He's incredible.
Yeah, the drumming is amazing.
Watching him is my favorite thing to do live. Like, he's insane.
It is cool.
It's cool.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, fuck
it's
that guy who yelled that at it.
Yeah, this was like girl talk. People would go,
yeah, they go ape shit.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, during like a Halloween show, when they bust out like a new one that everyone thinks is awesome, it's so much fun.
I can see being very excited. Yeah.
I feel like Jared just didn't like the ones that he heard.
Well, yeah, there are some bad ones. There are some that I would straight up skip on the album. But, like, it's not even an album I would listen to. Like, it's like, I keep that for the Halloween shows.
Well, also, I think Jared's mad because if you're going to cover Fleetwood Mac,
oh, you better
like if you come for the king, you better not miss.
Yeah. And Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
like, two. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of teases.
I don't love his music, but I love his.
what he did with the boys. Is that what you were referring to,
sure.
Tommy?
Yeah.
Is that clarify? All right. So that was Sad Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
Listening to that, it's like it's exactly
it's
what you said earlier, where it's like. I like that, but a lot of it's because I like that Clint Eastwood.
Right.
I loved the Gorillaz.
But you can't. You have to admit that like they nailed the aesthetic
they do,
of it.
No,
yeah.
I will admit it takes technical talent.
Technically
to do that.
Impressive.
It's I wouldn't say creative talent necessarily.
That is my favorite like backhanded compliment. Of
I know. No,
like
that's
you guys
the
are so technically impressive.
No, that's
it's
how
insane.
I feel about. People will be mad if I say
play
this,
it.
But Rush.
Say it. Oh, I love
I don't
Rush.
Like Rush, but it, for me, it's more personal than.
Did Geddy Lee?
My father was killed by Geddy Lee. What happened?
Geddy Lee stole my girl.
Geddy Lee, best bass player ever.
Today's Come Tom on. Tucker made him cry.
When I texted him that I ran into you at the grocery store, my phone corrected it to Tom Thailand.
Oh shit!
It's your new name. You got
to
do it.
His mind is not for rent. He is a little bitch bigot.
Oh my god.
All right. This is another
quintessential umph tune. It's called Plunger. I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
names are not their forte.
I'm going to say umph tune is not clever. Neither is umbowl. But it is nice. All right. Plunger. So let's turn this one up.
I don't want to use the word math rock, but like they have very just like the joke that we say at Umphrey shows is wow, they played so many notes tonight. Like they play a lot of notes. Now we stare at Brendan Bayless took vocal lessons.
I really like his voice.
You like his voice?
Yeah.
It wasn't always the best. The early live recordings are kind of rough, and like you can tell he tried.
He reminds me a little bit in this song of Brandon Boyd. I like his voice a little bit. Incubus.
Yeah.
I really like it.
Wow.
I like Incubus.
I like Incubus too. I confuse them in Interpol a lot.
They're very different.
I know. Yeah. They just have eyes at the beginning.
I think this is my favorite on the list.
Yeah.
This is probably. I wanted to put like heavy. This album is very accessible and people would like it. But I wanted to give you a soundscape.
Sure. No wrong way to do it, except for the way you did.
Oh man, Cemetery.
And this is their
the
like
one.
Very prog album.
All right, turn that bad boy up for me. Ooh. More prog than Hillary Clinton, if you ask me.
My favorite prog rock artist is Hillary Clinton. You're right. It's building to something.
Mm-hmm.
think you guys like it. You're like, no, I don't.
We'll be saving our opinions.
we're putting that behind the paywall.
I like that.
Yeah, great rap.
I think this might be my favorite song.
No. Hell yeah.
And what a name, Cemetery Wall. That seems like something I would have listened to in college.
What I get at the Chinese restaurant.
On the album, it's followed by Cemetery Walk 2.
I prefer Pet Cemetery Wall.
Ooh.
They should remake that.
I was just talking about this the other day. Yeah. Because that movie needs a remake.
it sucks. It scared the shit out of me.
I hope they cut out the Achilles tendon. I can't even think of it.
You hope they don't cut the Achilles tendon. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
It's a great book.
Yeah, it is.
Very scary book.
Very scary.
Very scary.
All right, and this last song.
Steven is scaring me.
This is another song from that album I just said was the proggy one. Mm-hmm. It's called Mantis is the album. The song is called 1348.
And this is a live.
It's a live one, but let's listen to the intro because it's cool. And then I'll skip to the jam because the jam is bass heavy and it's awesome. One of my most memorable jams of recent memory. This is pure joy for me.
You screaming?
Yeah, that was me. Yeah. Also at the show, February 20th, 2015, Syracuse. It's like they're patient. They'll like let them think about. So now all the band's sitting there like, how do we improve on this?
Tommy set an alarm for if a song goes too long.
We're really pushing it. That I like this, like the
see, this
very
is the sort
slow
of
guitar.
This is the sort of thing listening to music that will drive me crazy.
That's right here.
Yeah, I don't
the slow build.
Yeah, because to me, it's like I don't mind a slow build, but it's like if it's that same, like I know there's other pieces moving in the background now, but it's like just that bass line
this
going bass over and over again.
Just basic
line. Yeah,
not
that
interest.
Is not what I'm into. But okay. I'm not saying that it's bad. I'm just saying.
You're very respectful, both of you.
I'll understand when something's just not for me, because I understand. There are some, like Wilco does this too, where it's like they'll build with some weird noise in the
background. Like because Nels Klein, their guitarist, one of the craziest like avant-garde guitarist ever. And
sure.
It's insane that he's in Wilco, because like if you see him solo, he's just like, that's all he does.
Uh-huh.
So like, yeah, I love Wilco live shows for that reason though. And that's why you don't like them.
But that's like, even watching them sometimes, like they have some songs on their album that I skip where they do shit like that, where it's like 12
that
minutes.
That one on
like,
a Ghost of Thorns.
It's so bad.
I know what it's called.
And that's a great album. Yes.
Yeah.
It is unlistenable to me, and I love them.
I love that song. I skip to it.
All right, what part are we skipping?
No, that was it. We're done.
Okay, good, okay.
You guys are off the hook.
All right,
you
that
did it.
Was the playlist.
Man. You're going to say put an adjective there.
That was
so you
something.
Guys didn't hate that as much as
no.
You went to Jared did.
No, I have no hate.
Yeah, no. I thought that I would.
Hateful bone in my body.
There was a lot going into this episode where this could have been negative. I came in a bad mood.
Yeah, I was very concerned.
I'm not drinking. I'm like irritated. Mm-hmm. No, that's not why I'm irritated. I'm just irritated with my luggage and being tired. But yeah, I was like, it's gonna be jam shit. I'm gonna be like
fucking Brett's coming over.
Look at Brett's goddamn face for an hour and a half. No, we love you, Brett. We were happy to have you.
Thank you.
But no, I was very pleasantly surprised by this, and it was fun to sit here and listen to it together.
Yeah,
so that was a nice.
And I hope you got a little background about why I'm so obsessive about it.
Definitely, and talking about it did help a lot, and seeing other people's experiences and reading about them. The South Bend thing still cost him a point.
what are you gonna do?
Yeah, no, they're Indiana boys on an Indiana night, and I respect that. Tommy, what did you think of this playlist?
You know, I have a lot of thoughts.
Ooh.
I think that they are incredibly gifted musicians. And
thank you.
I think the drumming's amazing. The bass, the guitar licks are great. It's all great. It's just, personally, I just don't have the attention span for that type of music. Where the word you used, patient, is a word I hate when applied to music. I don't want songs to be patient. But I didn't hate any of it. I'm going to go over the halfway mark. I'm going to give him a 3.5. Wow.
Wow, that was lower than I thought you were going to give. That's
really?
Surprising. Yeah, I'm going to go a little higher than that. That honestly, if you...
Is this out of five?
This is out of six.
So, I was so excited. What kind of fucking grading scale is this?
Well, because it's
so,
six songs.
It's just like, you're like choosing if you like the song.
Yeah.
Basically, it's pretty up in the air how we do
it's
this.
Numbers are hard.
Luckily, our fans are not statisticians.
You're about to get a whole bunch of new listeners who are. They're not going to like this shit.
No, I am going to go higher than that. I got to think here for a second.
We're rating the playlist, not the band.
Yeah, not the band. Because listening to it, I really like this guy's voice. I liked
that's such a funny thing because
doing.
I feel like that's a big criticism of them is people don't like his voice.
I've found, and maybe it's because of what you said where you took vocal lessons, but the songs you picked on here, the Cemetery Walk and Plunger, I thought he sounded great.
Hell yeah, dude.
And the covers I could take or leave because if I'm listening to someone do a cover, I want to hear it. I want to hear a new take on it.
Again.
So I get that they're trying to do something different with it, but to me it's like, why put that out?
Sure, I agree with that.
But to me it's like, do a live version of that. But also, like, when I see somebody do a live version of something, I still want to see a new take on it.
Yeah.
You know? Like, every cover of Fleetwood Mac that people do that I like, like, even the Dixie Chicks one is, I like the cover of Landslide because it's a countryer version. Like, it's a little different.
They did something with it, yeah.
The Smashing Pumpkins one. And then this band Gardens and Villas does a cover of Gypsy that's fucking incredible because it's completely different than the normal song. So is this, I'm just hearing it and I'm going, I wish I was listening.
They just did a really good
Gorillaz.
Job of recreating
but
that
they
song.
Did but it is impressive. So I'll
give
them
and
that.
Again, in the live environment, seeing them do covers in the moment, in the middle of a show, fucking rules.
Yeah.
I would never listen to them cover something at home.
So I'm going to go 4 out of 6, and I probably would have gone a little higher if we hadn't listened to that bass line for so long.
I was so excited about that one, too.
I think that cost you half a point.
I'm going to go ahead and give it a 6 out of 6.
I was going to ask you.
It's a great playlist.
So far, no one who's done the podcast has given their playlist less than a 6.
You should go find the playlist. It's called Stand By Your Band, all one word, and it was created... I created it on my roommate's Spotify account, Mary Claire Osadnik.
I was wondering about the username.
Shout out to Mary Claire. I didn't even see that. Great, great lady.
Yeah, and you can find all of the playlists on my Spotify, too, except for this one, which is now, it's just called Stand By Your Band.
Oh, I don't know how I was supposed to do it. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I appreciate that you did that because it made it easier for us.
That's all I wanted to do.
Yeah, 4 out of 6. I enjoyed it, and I it's not a band that I think that I would go back to listen to on my own, but I would see them live. I think they're a band that I would see. I would give them a chance live.
I'm going to hold y'all both to that. I'm going to pretend like you just said it.
I don't think Tommy said it.
I'm going to pretend like you said it. And
I've had so many chances to see them live. I have been invited to so many shows.
My friend was trying to get rid of Book and Bowl tickets, which are very hot commodities, and if they're still available, it's a Sunday night. Y'all should come. It's like late October.
I might be down.
I will say one note before we do the plugs. You're talking about flying to a lot of shows, going to see all these shows.
Yes.
Can I borrow some money?
Yeah. Hey,
I've racked up a lot of Southwest miles.
Hey, Brett, we have a Patreon page. We should put a tier on there where we'll go to an Umphrey's McGee concert with you.
Only Umphrey's McGee.
Yeah, it's like specifically tailored to me. Like, spend $50 a month and we'll go to an Umphrey's
show. We'll talk about horror movies at an Umphrey's McGee concert.
Yeah, I'd buy that shit, dude.
Anyone can do
it. I'm an easy target. I just described how Umphrey's has fleeced me for the past 10 years.
By the way, if you guys have any thoughts on what you would like to get out of your Patreon experience, we've got some new Patreon subscribers that we would like to keep happy. And some of the things we're going to offer is I'm going to make koozies. Ooh. For our
Can you just make somebody dinner one night? That'd be a fun one.
I'm a terrible cook.
But. Yeah. We'll microwave you something.
Yeah.
But yeah, once I make those, I'm going to send them out to people. We're going to have bonus episodes. Now that I have my computer back, we're going to be back on track. We kind of got fucked by my computer going down for a while. And Tommy got mugged. So why don't you guys go easy on us?
Yeah. Give Tommy some money.
Yeah.
He's in pain.
Check out my Patreon.
You stupid.
You stupid.
Brett, what do you want to plug?
Y'all should listen to both of my podcasts.
Ooh.
I have the New Flesh podcast. It's a podcast about horror movies and all things tangentially related to horror. It's hosted by my friend Joe Avella, who is at one point was in the Chicago comedy scene. So it's a very goofy. We only talk about horror movies probably like the last half hour out of like a 2-hour episode. So it's very just goofy. If you enjoyed listening to me ramble, you'll like that. And then I have.
People get mad at us for doing that, it turns out, sometimes.
Yeah, I'm sure. People are the worst.
Somebody said that we waffle too much.
Ooh, interesting.
I don't know what that
means. I'm so glad you said that. Yeah, yeah. Guess what the light engineer of Umphrey's name is?
Waffle?
Jefferson Waffle.
Ooh.
You brought it home.
You're lucky you did this after we gave the points.
Yeah. They might not have been stood by.
And my other podcast is Strangers from Twitter with Lauren Duca. It is currently on hold. It'll hopefully be back, but there's 11 episodes. They're all great. I really enjoy it. It's my pride and joy. Please.
She's famous now.
She is famous, so she's too cool to do the show with me still.
Yeah.
But we're working on it, and hopefully it'll happen before long.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Check out Brett. He's the best. And check him out on Twitter at Brett Redacted.
Yeah. Yes, at Brett Redacted on Twitter.
Great on Twitter.
Thank you so much.
Check out Tommy McNamara. Ooh. Just anywhere you can.
Anywhere you can. Mug him.
At Tommy McNam.
Yeah. At the end of the month, I'm doing a bunch of shows in different cities with Ian Abramson. Come to one of those.
Oh, shit. That's awesome.
Ian Abramson is wonderful.
Great man.
Great man.
I should have looked at where I'm going to be. I know I'm not sure when this is going to come out yet. It'll be probably over the next 2 or 3 weeks. But I will be this weekend at 208 Fest in Boise, Idaho. Doug Benson will also be there doing a Doug Loves Movies, and there'll be Jeff Tate and Dana Gould.
Ooh,
Jeff Tate, the new Tommy McNamara?
That's right. That's what people are calling him. I will be in L.A. for the next week after that, so check me out. I'll be at Good Heroin at, what's it called, Stories or Echo? I can't remember what it's called, but that's a fun show. I'll be doing, I don't know, I should have looked at this before. I'll be at the Punchline in Philadelphia coming up. I'll be at the Punchline in Sacramento and in San Francisco as well. And those will be with Nikki Glaser. Check out those shows.
And
check
don't
out
forget to check out our show at Caroline, September 27th.
September 27th, Tom and Tommy Comedy Mommy. Tickets are on sale right now at carolines.com, and you can get tickets for $10 with promo code MOMMY. And
but
check
you have
it
to
out.
Say it. Mommy. Mommy. Mama. Mommy.
We have a fucking awesome lineup for that
Hell
show.
Yeah.
We have Joe List, Aparna Nansherla, Sean Donnelly, Martin Urbano.
Oh, wow.
Christina
Hutchinson of the fucking Guys We Fucked podcast.
It is cool they changed the name to the fucking Guys We
the
Fucked.
The fucking guy. It was these fucking guys we
and
fucked.
And more?
We're the guys.
And more.
We're the three guys.
More. So check that out. Again, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/standbyyourband. And rate and review us on iTunes if you get a chance. We appreciate that big time. And we'll leave you guys with a little Keep It Crispy.
Is that how you end
yeah,
the show?
Yeah.
Do I just like Keep It Crispy?
On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Keep
it crispy.
Bye.